Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Let's get to our good friend Neil Coulong, who has picked every game correctly in the playoffs so far. No surprise, Neil. Welcome. Did I lose Neil? Hello, Neil.
Damn. And I'm still in mute, but now I'm not. Sorry. What I was saying was, yes, I have picked every game in the playoffs, and that's kind of my own personal Super Bowl. I don't actually bet on games, but I will pick against the spread for the playoffs just because one year I came close. I missed on one game 1 year, and I'm on that streak now. So I'm feeling mixed about this because I think it's a tough slate this weekend. But, yes, up to this point, it's been fantastic.
Yes, it is a tough slate, as a matter of fact. And, by the way, on mute, you have no idea over the years how often the audience had hoped that was on mute. So,
one of those things, right. You put it on mute, yeah, I'll remember. Nope.
Sure,
never do.
Sounds great.
Not the first time.
So, when you look at the Eagles... you watch them and you know they're outstanding. They've been the best team. Yet, they have played one of the worst schedules I've ever seen. I mean, even in the playoffs, they got a team that they already knew that they were way better than. When you look at them, and they're 2.5-point favorites over the 49ers with a third-string quarterback who's a rookie in there. Your thoughts?
It's so tough. I went back and forth on San Francisco for that very reason. You don't know when the Brock Purdy train is going to slow down, but any historical evidence, all logic, everything tells you it can't continue. At some point, he's going to run out of track. You know, there are only so many opportunities you can give a player like that. And hats off to San Francisco in coordinating this. Managing through it, it's a testament to how well prepared they are, how smart Purdy is, and how well their offense can execute without the presence of high-level, even mid-level passing ability. I would think at some point somebody is going to say, we can challenge this team hat-on-hat up front, try to take away these intermediate routes, create bodies in the middle of the field to slow McCaffrey down out of the backfield and make Brock Purdy find a second option multiple times. And it for me, Philadelphia's defense probably likes the idea of that. It's a secondary that can take the ball away. And there's no way Purdy's not going to – he's going to have to be excellent for San Francisco in this game. I'm a big fan of what San Francisco does. I think they're if they have above-average quarterback, I think they're favored in this game. The fact that Philadelphia has that quarterback, and they have probably more depth overall as a team, I would give them the advantage here just simply because I think they can get to Purdy a few more times than what San Francisco is going to be able to do to Jalen Hurts. And I speak highly of both of these teams because, to me, and I know all the hype is really going into the AFC, I think this is the Super Bowl. I think these are the two best teams in football game to game. And watching them slug it out is really kind of what I've been looking forward to and hoping was going to come down to in the NFC. But Purdy is the outlier of the whole thing. I don't know if I would bet heavily on the idea that they are able to scheme him up again against a very deep, very talented defensive team, but with an offense that can trade punches with San Francisco with a phenomenal defensive team as well. I don't think there's going to be a ton of points scored in this game, but overall I think Philadelphia just will have a little bit more toward the end. They won't get whatever Dallas did at the end of that game. That's not going to happen in Philadelphia. So I got to think, I'm pretty confident Philadelphia probably... They can. What is it? 2.5? They can cover that. I don't think they'll have too much of an issue with it.
Yeah, if I had to pick a coach that could scheme around the quarterback and put him in the best position to succeed, it would be Shanahan. And it, because he's got a running game to do this, he's got good players around him that helps. But there's, again, I'm with you. I just don't know, quite know how far this guy can take it. If Garoppolo were still the quarterback, Garoppolo's not the best quarterback in the league. He's not one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. No, he is not. But I would pick San Francisco to win, and maybe even comfortably if he were the quarterback.
Yeah, but to me, I think I might lean that way. Home field advantage is something I think that might not be as big against two teams that are as deep and as talented as both of them are. But yeah. I don't know if I'd give it Garoppolo in that. I don't know if I could do it with him. But it does speak volumes to how potent of an offense it is overall. It's not one player. It's not just one thing. And it's funny because I would normally say, you take Patrick Mahomes off the Chiefs, what happens? Well, Chad Henne walks on the field and marches him 98 yards for a touchdown. Apparently,
that's a great job,
as it turns out. But give him 6 games worth of film and give him a week to prepare.
No,
what happens?
Can't do it.
They don't have a 2-day rest advantage this time. They got to travel across the country. I don't have a whole lot of faith in Garoppolo. I think he's a solid quarterback. He's certainly not a great one.
No.
I don't know how good he is top to bottom, but I certainly don't think that Brock Purdy is all that good either.
But at least he's been in this spot before, and he's been in a spot where he's had to win on the road before, and I think that does speak to something. Because, the been there, done that does not hurt you. Now, Cincinnati, I thought they were the most impressive team of the weekend. Because, look, they went into Buffalo in conditions, right? And they played just a terrific game against the Bills because they match up better against the Bills. I mean, matchups mean everything this time of the year.
This is just me. I'm patting myself on the back here. I am not at all surprised at the result of that game. For anybody who thought that Buffalo was a better team, they haven't been watching the second half of the season. If anybody thought that Cincinnati was going to be in any type of emotional fear because of everything that has happened and the power of the crowd in Buffalo, they haven't paid attention to Cincinnati over the last 2 seasons. This is a team that somehow fell into a defensive stalwart at the end of the year. And I think Lou Amarillo needs much more credit than what he's getting.
Doubt.
I've talked about this.
No
since
doubt.
It happened. The most frustrating part of this whole thing, and I'm not trying to denigrate anybody with this, but the amount of praise that Joe Burrow is getting in the face of a defense that has allowed, I think, like 15 points a game in the last 6 games, including 2 dominating performances the last 2 weeks. It wouldn't bother me as much if this wasn't exactly what happened last year. It's the same thing. Joe Burrow is not playing at the level that everyone wants him to be playing at. Because Cincinnati wins does not mean Burrow is playing like the unquestioned MVP. Okay? Doesn't mean that he's not playing well. I think that he is. But their defense is doing everything. Their defense.
Well, see, that's what's interesting. When you're talking in the playoffs, who's everybody talking about? Well, they're talking about Leslie Frazier, Steve Spagnuolo. They never talk about Lou. He never gets talked about.
I don't get it.
There's never a word about
Steelers
him.
Guy, if there's anybody I would want out of the division, it's him. His defense is untouchable. And I said this the other day. You don't want to call it a no-name defense because that's impossible today. I mean, it's the easiest statement you'll hear all day. Yeah. But at the same time, it's not like they've got Nick Bosa. It's not like they're rocking the front 7 in the secondary that Philadelphia has. They're not. I mean, Trey Hendrickson's a fine player, excellent player. It's not like they have a bunch of all-pro players on that defense. They're solid, but they play so well together, and they are so well coached. They cover, as the cliche says, every blade of grass on the field. They hit with passion. They take the ball away. They rally all over the field. Like, hey, I'm okay with this guy. And for me, there are 3 defensive coordinators, probably 4 if you want to count Spagnuolo, who I wouldn't mind being the head coach of my team. And the fact that we are not talking about this over a season in which we saw scoring drop considerably in a relative sense, seeing the best defensive teams in the game advance in the NFC Championship, you're looking at all of these defensive factors, and everyone still wants to go to the quarterbacks and to offense, even when the quarterbacks and the offense aren't necessarily doing they're not performing at the level as what we've seen them perform. I'm not taking anything away from Joe Burrow, once again, an excellent player. His stats are like Joe Montana's in 1988. They're not eye-popping in comparison to today. Doesn't mean that he's not effective. He's very good at what he does. Patrick Mahomes has not had the Patrick Mahomes kinds of games. There was a three-year run in which he put up like 28 on the Raiders in a quarter. He did that like 3 years in a row. He's not doing that kind of thing anymore. You know, some of that is to do with Tyreek Hill, but defenses are getting much smarter. They're evolving more with the game, and it's becoming more and more prominent. And to me, that's really the immediate direction of the league. It's DeMeco Ryans. It's Jonathan Gannon. These guys are coming up with schemes and concepts, particularly in the secondary, that's taking away the quarterback's high-end ability to completely take over a game. It doesn't mean that they can't. It doesn't mean that they won't. It's just we're seeing much better defensive football, and we're just not talking about that. And that really bothers me. To me, Cincinnati is a shining example of it. We're still talking about Joe Burrow. They held the Bills to 10 points in Buffalo.
I know. Amazing.
The Bills have 10 points in the first 4 minutes of the game against Pittsburgh. That's a great offensive team.
Yeah.
No reason to think that Cincinnati's defense is not capable of continuing playing at the level that it's at. And to be honest with you, they're going to beat Kansas City, and it's going to be because of their defense. But we will still talk about Joe Burrow. Just watch.
Because it's Burrow against Mahomes. And, you know, I know Mahomes is hurt. And you're right. Mahomes has been really good, but hasn't been great. See, everybody's been going with that cover two look because they're trying to keep the ball underneath. There's one surefire way that gets cover two totally off balance, and that's having a quarterback that plays, like Jalen Hurts.
Yep, exactly.
That's what people don't realize. In this cover two look, if you have a quarterback that can run and run the quarterback draw, that kills cover two. And that's one of the reasons why the Eagles have been so effective.
It gives you numbers up front.
Yep.
And when you have he automatically has space. That 11th defender, typically, whoever it is that you're spying in the quarterback, is either a linebacker who's going to be much slower than Jalen Hurts laterally, or it's your safety who's playing back. And you're playing him back because you've got Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown on the field. That's not an easy duo to contain. If Philadelphia is smart enough, Shane Steichen's an excellent coach. He's going to be a head coach here next season as well. He has made Hurts into, not to take anything away from Hurts, but scheme-wise, they've put Hurts and his skill set into a position to succeed at a high level. And it's exactly as you described it. We're going to take what you give us. Whatever it is that you want to do, we're going to do the other thing because we have a quarterback that can do both of those things. That's why, to me, I've talked to Bills fans about this. It's so disappointing to see what Ken Dorsey did, by and large, with their run game, not just with Josh Allen, who got hurt. They were okay running the ball. You're not going to complain a whole lot, but they really needed to be able to run the ball. Philadelphia, Miles Sanders is a home run hitter. They can get him the ball anywhere on the field, and he's going to be effective. It doesn't need to be, you know, a 300-touch-per-season kind of effort, but they have that tool, and Buffalo didn't. Buffalo didn't utilize that as much. They continued to go with to go with Allen when he was hurt. He went out and made plays because he's a phenomenal player, but he wasn't at his best at the end, and we saw that. They broke down. They were dead the last 2 weeks offensively. That's another thing, too. Anybody betting on Buffalo after that Miami game, like, you think that was a fluke? No, that's what Buffalo is now. They didn't play well. Their last six games this season, they didn't play well. No reason in my mind to think that Cincinnati couldn't cover that. But to me, it is a huge advantage. And you've got the most athletic quarterback remaining now in Philadelphia. And that's a really hard player to stop. And San Francisco, probably the masters of that cover two that you're talking about, what DeMeco Ryans is doing with their safeties to try to mitigate some of that, it's going to be challenged. And Hurts, as we saw with the Giants twice this season, when you don't contain Hurts, he's going to beat you himself. And he can rush for 80 yards on seven carries like he did in the regular season against the Giants. And that has to be San Francisco's primary effort. If they want to stop him, they're going to need to get him to throw the ball deeper, and that means taking risks. That's tough to do.
Right. Oh, and God forbid you go to cover zero.
Against, saw that
against Hurts?
Too.
Excuse me. There's no safety in the middle of the field. Let's take everybody back to the Rose Bowl on Singleton's 87-yard touchdown run. That was cover zero. There's no safety
cover
there.
Cover zero, one tackle equals touchdowns. That's what zero means.
Yep. And that's that's why the Bengals, by the way, are a point-and-a-half favorite. And a lot of that has to do, obviously, with what Las Vegas thinks about the injury to Mahomes. But it's more than just that. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole ball game right there.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable to say that now. I mean, it's going to fluctuate. That's going to be the most volatile line. In fact, I'm surprised it's even out right now, just considering that injury is significant. You know, I don't doubt that he'll play because you're going to put him out there, but a high ankle sprain coming back that quickly for as important as mobility is to Mahomes around the pocket, not, you know, running down the field, but buying himself time, making, lateral cuts and everything, he is not going to be the same player. And frankly, Cincinnati's going to feast on that. I don't think they're going to have much of a problem holding him in check, and I don't know how good Kansas City's defense is going to – I don't know how well they can accomplish that same goal against a Cincinnati offense that seems to be very much in rhythm with itself. You got Mixon back. You got Chase back. They're putting everything together that they need to. And with that, they're able to work around the protection problem that they've had. Burrow's releasing the ball. Up and down in his career to this point, him doing that, he's actually getting rid of it on time. He's not looking for the hero play every time. They're putting it on schedule. He's throwing catchable balls, and they're making plays after the catch. That's an offense that's going to win any time of the year, any period of the game. And I think Cincinnati has those advantages. Kansas City is losing its best player. I don't know any team that gets better after losing their best player. And I'm not saying he's not going to play, but Mahomes is not going to be the Mahomes that you would hope is capable of winning an AFC championship game, because he's not going to be able to move. You put him out there, that's fine. All due respect to the Michigan legend, Chad Henne, who I think is like my age, he's not going to come in there and do much against that defense. You know, if it comes to that, they're in significant trouble.
Yeah. Maybe during the bye week between the Super Bowl, between the NFC and AFC championship games and the Super Bowl. Maybe, in fact, we do it next week. We can dissect the Cowboys, because I think we'll need the whole segment to do that.
There's something else. I watched the punt play, Pagano's punt play in the Colts against the Patriots.
Yeah.
I watched that in real time, and it felt like a car wreck. It was like, whoa, wait a minute. There are two guys there. Do you realize that? It's like they didn't even see it, and you're yelling at the TV more and more. And then you watch something that kind of looks like that in what Dallas is doing. And right away, you can see what they're going to do. He's not eligible, so he's going to snap the ball. He's going to release. This is straight out of Varsity Blues. That's the idea of what they were trying to say in that movie. But it's Elliott, and it's not Pollard. My guess is Pollard was hurt. They practiced that play with Pollard because Pollard's fast enough to get to the outside where he'd be able to get the hook and cut back and be able to have guys behind him and try to outflank everybody down the end. But it's like right away, it's like it's Elliott. He's not, no, this isn't going to work. And then Elliott seemed to feel the same way. One of the funniest things I've ever seen in a football game, I shouldn't remember which defensive player it was, but whoever it was, seeing it, he kind of looks over his shoulder to see if anybody's coming back to the line, and he realizes they're going to snap like this. He, like, crow hops. He's like, oh, boy, okay, and just goes straight through him. And you can see it right away, the way the play is designed. Elliott was the primary receiver. The initial catch, it was going to go to him. So it's like, what's going to happen now? The whole thing was just a train wreck. And yes, you're not in a great spot, anything that you do, but to go out like that, to end a season like that on such a comical, embarrassing note. I enjoyed that thoroughly. I love the playoffs.
Next week we'll break that organization down. All right, Neil, always a pleasure, my good friend. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.